What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites against the Packers this weekend, and I am excited to see how they manage to mess it up.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, February 26th, and we have got a whole lot of Cam Newton fun stuff to talk about today. If you are not on youtube.com/@Jenkins and Jones and all of the various social media feeds, go subscribe now. The team has got us on, I think, every social media app at this point, so go check it out, Jenkins and Jones.
We have
always,
a team, y'all. The team. Wow.
There's a team. I
love that.
And I know Biko and Josh and Jackson. I don't know. There's probably other people on the team that I don't even know. So, you know, incomplete credits. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good.
Lil Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's Aunt Bubba's?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
Is my shit slowed? Is it? Is my shit delayed?
No. He was playing it out. I almost cut him off too. Produced as always by the lovely and talented Jackson Stefan.
What's up?
All right, gentlemen. Who woke up on Sunday morning and said, "Fellas, what do y'all want to do today? Should we go jump Cam Newton?" I assume you've both seen the video of Cam Newton at a 7-on-7 event. I don't know, a handful of guys trying to jump him. And he looked like a superhero movie where it's like he was fighting the ninjas. Not the main bad guy, but like the ninjas at the front. There's just people flying off him. What was your reaction to the video? And how ill-advised was this to attempt to jump one of the more physically impressive human beings in species history.
There we go, because it had to be species history. Go ahead, Tyler, though.
I just couldn't believe that so many people came to such a bad decision. Like, I could understand a one person running up on Cam and you know, getting his ass beat. Maybe there was a problem. There was some disrespect or what have you. One-on-one, man-to-man shit. But to see a whole group of people decide, hey, we are going to try to jump this 6'5", 260-pound fucking bulldozer of a human. Like, I just don't... We need to know the backstory. I want to know how this happened. How did a whole group of people decide to come to such a bad fucking decision? Because I am just perplexed at that shit. And to be clear, like, I'm someone who understands, hey, sometimes you got to get your ass beat to stand on principle, right?
Point
you know
blank.
What I'm saying? Right, right. But I just want to know what was the backstory here that led to fucking four people getting their ass beat at the same damn time?
It was so weird because you see him and he's towering over these men in quotations. Like, it's hard to call them both men when you see them right next to each other. One was a man, so the other four were something else. But anyway, the nigga was fucking throwing three people around. Another man came and tried to steal his ass, and he didn't even have to adjust his hat afterwards. How embarrassing. The nigga had on a top hat with feathers, you know what I mean? And he didn't even move while four humans were trying to fight him. It's insane to me. I've never seen anything. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my life, bro. We've seen him manhandle an NBA, an NFL player while smiling in the man's face, bullying him. And you think as a regular human, you want to jump this man, dog? Sometimes you got to get your ass whooped. I don't know if that's the time, no. Nigga, sometimes you got to take a loss. You know what I mean? And I don't want to get my ass whooped by motherfucking Cam Newton. Come on, bro. Like you said, he's not one of the most impressive humans we've seen. He's one of the more impressive humans in human species history, nigga. You feel me? Crazy.
He beat them. He got up so bad, they had Tyler questioning whether the French philosophers were correct about representative democracy, bro. Like, Tyler was like, only one person could be that stupid. Five people together are not supposed to be that stupid.
I am perplexed. I am perplexed. Like I said, I do not know how so many people came to such a bad decision. Like I said, I can understand a one-on-one asshole, but bro, how did so many people just come to such a terrible decision?
There was nothing.
Go ahead,
John.
No, I think you see three, and it's like, maybe I can be the person to tip the scales. And one, maybe nobody tipped. They got to four, and the scales hadn't been tipped yet. He still had the upper hand, nigga. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It looked like a cartoon, bro. He was throwing people into bushes. Like, it was like a video game. It was like, oh, if I throw him into the bushes, he takes an extra 15% damage. Like, it didn't look like he was operating in reality.
Right, bro. He had one man over here, the other was on a leg, another man on the other arm. Homie came and tried to stick him, and he just ate that shit like it was nothing. And he ran at him with his whole body. You know, he had cleats on, nigga, trying to steal him. He got, you know, grip on the feet and everything. Nothing, bro. No effect on him. It was crazy. He's the boss, bro. He's Guru or Goro, whatever the fuck that nigga name in Mortal Kombat. Nigga.
Mortal Kombat,
the
one nigga right before.
Yeah. Hey, bro. Nothing, bro. It's crazy.
Bro, first thing I thought about when I saw that is this is basically 1.25 Russell Wilson's versus four futures. Because you know how motherfuckers have said, and I hope this fight puts that dumbass argument to bed forever, bro. Because this motherfuckers who really think Future could beat Russell Wilson's ass just because they like the motherfuckers' music. Like, let's be for real here, dog.
Tyler, come on, that man. Beast bracket really sprang straight out of the middle of your fucking forehead, bro, like Zeus. Like, you said 1.25 Russell Wilson's. That's the exact measurement, yes. Bro.
Yeah, and those are four futures. And that 1.25 Russell Wilson was having a breeze out there, not breaking a sweat.
Crazy.
All right, NFL football players are different. They love violence, bro. They are just wired differently. You know what I'm saying? You better pack your lunch, as we've heard in the fucking Mitches when we were talking about great white cliches, if you step to a football player.
And they brought up, like, how he's been, like, doing Olympic lifts since fucking eighth grade, nigga. You feel me? Like, this man has been throwing humans since he was in eighth grade when it comes to weights. This is play for him. This is recreation, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, bro, these niggas came with everything they had. And the man walked off, like, laughing. Embarrassed. I mean, so embarrassed.
I don't know if y'all saw, but there was a very emotional moment Super Bowl weekend where he saw Luke Kuechly. You know, the all-time great Carolina Panthers linebacker. A motherfucker who was one of the hardest hitters in the league when he was, you know, during his peak of destroyer of worlds. Cam saw that man and hugged him and lifted him off his feet. That motherfucker, he had one of the baddest motherfuckers to ever play the NFL. Little tootsies just dangling in the air, bro.
Toes off the ground.
Yeah, Cam is a different fucking dude, man.
He hugged him like I hugged my daughter at Disneyland after she saw her favorite princess today, bro. Just like a little twirl. Like,
would you rather him really have taken it serious and beat your ass or like just played with you? Like, it's, I don't want to get my ass beat by Cam Newton, seriously. But at the same time, though, it's more embarrassing to me when a nigga walk off, don't even adjust his hat, smiling after four of you tried to fight him, bro. You know what I mean? You're a child at that point. You're his son, nigga. You feel me? Crazy. Yeah,
I feel like that was a very lawsuit-proof ass whooping that he doled out to those dudes, right? There were no haymakers thrown. He was just, like, you know, moving motherfuckers. Like, that one dude, he grabbed by his fucking collar and just moved, like, 20 fucking feet. I can't imagine the feeling of that. If a motherfucker just grips you up and you have no control over your body anymore, dog. Like, no.
And he went for the legs. The legs didn't help, brother. Those are tree trunks, nigga. Those ain't normal legs, bro. It's crazy. It's crazy. Bad decision making for sure.
Well, we got to huddle up. If we're ever trying to jump Cam Newton, here's going to be my contribution. Number one, obviously we shouldn't do it. Number two, if Jackson, Tyler, and John all get thrown into the bushes, I promise you I will run up behind him and knock the hat off his head.
At least got to dislodge the hat. He has to pick the hat up off the ground at least, bro. Not the little, he didn't even have to do this, nigga. I can, you know what I mean? I can go on a monologue and have to fucking readjust my hat. The nigga fought four niggas and didn't have to readjust his shit. That's crazy, dog. Insane. Didn't break a sweat, nigga. Still smell like Issey Miyake afterwards. That is wild, bro. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Do we think Brock Purdy sent the goons?
The game manager goons.
Brock Purdy's over at over on 21st Street, fucking rounding them up. Oh man, that shit was truly unbelievable. I've never seen someone. I would say this, like, we didn't grow up in the era of some of the things that are currently terrifying. Like, we grew up sort of like on the cusp of those things happening. So, like, I was not worried about school shooters or terrorism as a teenager. I was worried about getting jumped. That was, like, the atomic bomb in high school. Was, like, I would take anything as long as I don't get jumped. And I don't think I've ever seen... You see videos of, like, a Samoan dude that five people are jumping, and he's giving as good as he's getting. I've never seen someone get jumped by four people and get credibly accused of bullying at the end of it. Like...
Leave those four dudes alone, Cam. Was Freshman Friday a thing at y'all high school? Like, the mythology around your colors? That?
No.
It was just like they always said the first Friday of the school year, they would just pick freshmen and jump and shit. It never fucking happened. It was just some shit to just instill.
Oh, it was just like some urban legend shit.
But yeah.
Some niggas got thrown in trash cans, though. Yeah, some people got. Yeah. But we had to wear colors on ours. Freshman Friday, we all had to wear colors. Like, freshman was green. Red was sophomores, blue was juniors, and the seniors were white.
They did not enforce color codes.
I'd imagine
Long
not.
Beach Poly High School.
We didn't have those issues, brother. Yeah.
I will say the one cool freshman tradition my high school had was if you were a non-freshman and like a freshman during like first week of class asked you where a classroom was, you send them the complete opposite fucking way. And so, and that was something that we did. And freshmen, you know, eventually became hip to that shit. But it was fucking hilarious. Like, if you catch a freshman asking you where a classroom was at, bro, you're if that was your four leaf clover for the day, dog.
Was that college or high school?
High school.
Your high school was that big?
Kinda.
Oh, shit.
How many kids were at your high school?
Shit, it was about 1,600 or so. That's kind of big.
Ours was just like a circle, though, like a square. You couldn't really get lost.
We have 5,000 people at our high school.
Insane. That's a college, bro.
That's a college. That's a community college, at least, brother.
The middle schools in Long Beach are about 1,400 kids with three grades. But the one rule that was always enforced at Poly when I was there was there's a seal that was the school's official seal that was like in this Hall of Fame walkway between two buildings. You weren't allowed to step on the seal until you were a senior. And everyone got physically moved off that shit at some point during their freshman year as a way of learning that by someone you were not going to argue with.
What a SOS Crip.
All right. My first day, I accidentally stepped on Junior Lamau's shoes. I got bumped and I like accidentally stepped on his shoes. And it was a real like, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to step on your shoes, sir. You see, what happened, sir, was this young gentleman over here accidentally bumped into me, sir. He's like, you're good. You just turn around. I was like 6 foot tall coming into high school. You turn around, you're looking at a 6 foot five Samoan dude with braids down to his waist. You know what I mean? And you're like, hi.
That was a TV show, bro. That was a movie. That's the beginning of some movie. It's crazy.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. There was some great... great dialogue around A-Rod showing up on TV either in blackface or fresh off of a vacation where he spent quite a bit of time getting tan. Gentlemen, I know you've seen his video. Do you buy that this is just a tan? And what was your thoughts on A-Rod's video?
The homie kept on stage at it too. He was like, I can't believe it. He really hit us with a I know black, I Dominican.
an unironic one, and straight to camera.
That boy put the reverse Sammy Sosa, like,
right?
That,
he looked more like Sammy Sosa than Sammy looked like Sammy now, nigga. I'm like, the fuck? I just looked at the photo. I'm like, damn.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would just never clarify that I had a fucking suntan. I don't give a fuck what people think about how darker I look. You know what I'm saying? But But he had to get out there and get ahead of that rumor or whatever the fuck. So I don't know, dog.
Look, I'm not black. I want to let you know I'm a lot of things, but I'm definitely not a nigga. You know what I'm saying? He want to let people know. Crazy.
I mean, was it a spray-on tan? It could have definitely been a spray-on. You know what I mean?
Nah, it looked legit. I feel like you can see a spray-on tan. That, right around the eyes is where the spray-on tan gives itself up. And that should look like a beach tan for sure.
I'll be honest with you. His neck folds looked like a spray-on tan. I mean, that's what. But I agree with you. His face, he didn't have the weird eye thing that the spray-on tan always gives you or whatever. So that's fair. Josh, you want to come on and provide some expert testimony?
Absolutely. Yeah. So A-Rod definitely has black in him. Like 1,000% has black.
The minute- Josh, establish your credentials as an audio engineer for the show.
I am a Puerto Rican, 100% from the Bronx. I have a black grandfather. Or I had a black grandfather. So a lot, as you can see, I'm pretty light skinned. But being Puerto Rican, you had the African slave trade. You had colorism as well. You had slaves in Puerto Rico that existed in Cuba, that existed in the Dominican Republic. All those Spanish speaking countries had white, black on your birth certificates. Like they labeled you whether you're based on your skin color. And there is no doubt in my mind, just based off of the amount of, was it
melanin.
In A-Rod's skin, the way he looks, there's no doubt in my mind he has black in him. And most Dominicans and most Puerto Ricans do. And if you don't, your family was basically just slave traders.
Yeah.
Hey, they might want to be slave traders more than they want to be black. I don't know the way you like. No, my family was a slave trader, right, buddy. We were not the slaves. I want to let you know.
Yeah, it's exactly what. No, we own them. We own them.
You feel me? That's where he at with it. Jeez.
Yeah, but a lot of Puerto Ricans, a lot of Dominicans, like they'll fight you on this. Like I know black. Like that's a real thing. Like it's crazy.
We've heard. Yeah, we've seen some of that on Twitter too. You know what I mean? It's a video to talk about that. But yeah. Thank God for the U's and the Marrows in the world. You feel me? Just lean all the way in, dog. You feel me? Yeah.
And the Victor Ortiz's. That motherfucker looks like Florida Evans. Dominican born and raised. Looks like, bro. Like, I don't know how you can say Dominicans don't have black in their blood and look at that guy. Like, I mean, for one, they share an island with Haiti. Like, bro, let's be for real here. Right? Come on, man. They share an island with Haiti, bro. Like, the same island has Haiti on one half and the Dominican Republic on the other half.
But that line, no one ever crossed over the line. That's the only border that's ever worked in the history of humanity. That's the argument, I guess, Josh.
I guess so. I've never heard that one, but yeah.
All right, points were made, man. You're on the same fucking island as Haiti. Like,
The slave trade ran through all those countries, every single one of them.
Back.
All right, A-Rod, come to grips, bro. Go on one of those fucking genealogy shows and learn about yourself, fucking weirdo.
What did he say in the video? What did he say? He said that I'm not. I know black. He pulled that.
Nah, he just said it's a tan, basically.
Okay, that's what. Okay. But in the comments, they got really specific, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think his. I hate to call it a defense of himself, but his explanation clearly sprung from that philosophy, right? I just want to be very clear. Like, I also tan, you know, deeply. It's just a really deep, lustrous tan.
If that wasn't a spray tan, he might got more than a piece of black in him. I got to be in the sun for a week to get that dark. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
All right, let's talk about, speaking of crazy, let's talk about, Tyler, you actually were tweeting about this and brought it to my attention. Let's talk about, apparently, Wilt Chamberlain, before a rule was passed prohibiting you from dunking free throws, was on free throw attempts, going back, getting a running start, and dunking from behind the free throw line. Do you buy this? And second, can we get this back? I mean, I just feel like that would be so much more interesting than free throws.
A dunk contest every time a motherfucker on the line would be incredible. But yeah, I mean, people were like, you know, oh, here goes another tall Wilt tale. But bro, we have to understand, Wilt is perhaps the greatest athlete to ever play basketball.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He was 7 foot tall, a fucking world class track and field athlete.
Yeah, ran a 5 minute mile at 7 foot tall.
Right? Like he would, yes. Like I know that the in vogue thing to say is we don't believe that 100-point game really happened. And yeah, you know, that's cute little internet shit. But we're not going to downplay, you know, how much of a fucking athlete Wilt was. Right. And so I just didn't understand why people were being skeptical that a 7 foot guy with a 7'8" wingspan who long jumped 22 fucking feet as a track. Right.
Yeah. Olympic level athlete, if he would decide to go that route.
Could dunk from the free throw line with a running start. Like, how is that infeasible? No, it checks out. And I for sure believe that some white man saw that and went and called the cops and got the rules fucking changed. I believe that it checks out to me.
The only part of the story I didn't fuck with was finding out that white man was Tex Winter.
Architect of the fucking triangle.
I got to interview. I have a ton of respect for Tex Winter, architect of the triangle offense, was a coach in Long Beach State after Jerry Tarkanian. I mean, just an all-time basketball guy. The only guy who's eaten more Frosties at the Wendy's by my house than me, Tex Winter, would go to the NCAA over Wilt Chamberlain, being like, this isn't fair because this guy's not a human being. What a bummer, bro.
What's funny about that in free throws, Wilt Chamberlain, is didn't he shoot underarm, like the little granny shot for a little bit?
He tried.
And was like, I'm 80% from the free throw line, but he was like, men don't do that. And then just started shooting regular and went to like 50%.
And, yeah. And then Rick Barry was like, fuck that shit you talking about. I'm going to do that and shot like 92%.
You feel me? Right. But he'd rather like, I'm going to run and jump from behind the free throw line and dunk it before I shoot 80% from the free throw line underarm. You know what I'm saying? A man that fucked 25,000 women doesn't shoot underarm. You know what I mean? Or like granny shot, I guess. Yeah, that's crazy.
Big Musty, the legend continues.
Big Musty. Wow.
Which would you rather do? I mean, especially if you're Wilt Chamberlain, you'd just shoot 50%, right?
No, bro, because if I'm Wilt Chamberlain, granny shot it? Nigga, I wouldn't give a fuck. Are you kidding me? Give me the fucking 80% from the free throw line, and I'll be that. Bro, you, nigga, dog. It doesn't change the fact that you're an Olympic level athlete. Like, nigga, I think you think he walked around musty, having hot dogs in his pockets, ass nigga, and you tripping off a shooting underarm? You're fucking, that's where you draw the line. You know what I mean? I could be out here smelling like hot dog water, but shooting underarm, you know, like the Grady shot. Hey, I can't do that. That's, doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't give a fuck. I would have shot the 80%. And been musty and been fucking Wilt Chamberlain. It wouldn't have changed shit. I'm still Wilt. You feel me?
Yeah. I mean, the flip side of it is if I'm averaging 55 points a game, I'll shoot my free throws however I prefer to shoot my
however I please. Yeah. But I think his first year, rookie year, he averaged 35 and 25. Something insane like that. I remember looking at him like, was Shaq the best rookie ever? Like, because I was thinking, like, he had to be. And I was like, oh, I think he averaged like 26 or something. 26 and like 14.
And three blocks. Wilt, too, yeah.
You said what?
And three blocks too.
Yeah. You feel me? Then I went down. I was like, oh shit, 35 and 20 something, insane. But like, yeah, bro.
I guess you can do what you want. 37.6, 27 rebounds.
Bro, I'm good nigga.
Easily 46% from the field. MVP is rookie year.
And the year before that, he played with the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, you feel me? Like crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how you look at his numbers in. And think he wouldn't at least be a fucking 25 and 12 guy in today's NBA, right? Like, and that's least a modest as estimation.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Wilt is one of the only, look, like, I don't want to turn this into shitting on other all-time basketball greats, but like, you see video of some people, even people that we watched, and you're like, okay, I would be interested to see.
He wasn't a milkman, bro. He wasn't the milkman we refer to.
But Wilt is like, Tyler just listed his measurables. 7 foot tall with a 7'8" wingspan. Hey, we talk about what a freak Wemby is. Go see what Wemby long jumps. Go see what he runs a mile. Like the fact that he ran a mile time in like a collegiate level qualified. Like that doesn't make any fucking sense for a dude of that size. And again, when you look at him, he was not the Kevin Durant, Chet Holmgren, Victor Wembanyama body frame. He was fucking buff too. Like that shit does. Like now, imagine how unathletic basketball players on average were at that time compared to a dude who would still be a physical freak today. And of course, you could believe he scored 100 points, or you could believe anything. But also, Why does the internet hate folktales? We don't like urban legends. Like, that's part of why our brains developed was to tell tall tales about people. And Will Chamberlain is the best tall tales in the world. You just said he averaged 36 and 27 as a fucking rookie.
Bro, that's his third. I mean, I know all these. I feel like everyone's heard all these stats before, but his third year in the league, he averaged 50 points a game, 25 rebounds, and 48.5 minutes played per game.
Yes. He played like every second and played every second of like every overtime and shit.
Second in the MVP voting.
What
didn't sniff the MVP that
year. Who was the MVP?
Probably Bill Russell.
Okay. They won a chip that year though, right?
Probably.
No. Yeah. Probably. What year was this?
This was 1961, 62.
The thing about that playing 48 minutes, I think there were like 13 teams in the league or something. So like there was how many games did they play? You feel me? I don't know, but still amazing. And also, like, he'd be a freak 40 years from now. You know what I mean? We can't.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that if this is urban legend, it might be true. I would lean towards true most of the time when I'm bringing him up.
They don't make buff, athletic, 7 foot tall dudes with 7'8" wingspans very often. Like, you know what I mean? It's just have we seen how many dudes have we seen?
God
like
makes
since
that then? Oops every what 10 years.
Like I said, I just never got the 100 point doubt because he was a motherfucker who gave us 50 points per game for a whole season. 50 points per game. Like, there's plenty of motherfuckers who will give us 30 points per game a whole season and have a 60 point game. Like, what is so hard to believe that a 50 point per game guy can have a great night where he drops 100? You know what I'm saying? I never understood the skepticism behind that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're fouling the fuck out of him every game. You know what I mean? So you run into one referee too who's going to actually call fouls when there's people hanging off of his arms. All right. Jackson, can you send the text message that we discussed to John and Tyler? John and Tyler,
one second here.
I'm assuming that you're not aware of this based on our conversation before we started recording. The Fanatics Corporation, in partnership with Nike, has taken over the contract for manufacturing Major League Baseball's uniforms this year. The problem is, they made one critical error, which is that the pants are completely see-through.
What the fool?
Okay, I didn't see the pants. I saw how the names on the back look flea market as fuck. I saw those pictures circulating, but I did not know about the see-through fucking pants.
So Jackson is sending you pictures you'll see from the photo day of all of these. Like, these athletes are getting paid. Some of them have contracts worth $500 million. And you can see the bottom of their shirts.
Man. Nigga, man's nuts are just here. You know what I mean? San Francisco Giants and dick. You know what I mean? Like, are these like the photos that they will have?
These are the official media day photos of these players.
I saw that and didn't know what it was. I'm like, they're wily.
What the
you
fuck?
You can see the fucking wrinkles on his nutsack, nigga.
grown men
are
not. You
can see the striations in his hamstrings, nigga. That is crazy.
Grown men are not supposed to have their fucking the fucking outlines of their genitalia just on full display like this. This is like some shit you see with like a pug, like, bro, like. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a bulldog or something. You know, walking around with their dick out like this. And these are grown ass men getting outfitted, you know, by for a fucking major league fucking sports league. And I just don't get it. How did this happen?
The cut? Because I don't know if this in particular is just see through. Like,
they changed quite a bit. The players have expressed that they're not happy. There has been a uniform truther movement that said, actually, they were always like this. It's the studio
did
lighting.
Did he tuck his shit in between his legs? Like, my nigga, did you tape that mother? Why is it there?
Nico sent us a tweet from Mike Golic Jr.,
That is so funny.
Where it's Crawford from the Mariners, and he called him some Spirit Halloween ass jerseys. Like, God damn.
Yes.
That shit look trash.
That's the other
wait,
side
this
of the
is the new one? Oh, yeah. That is
horrible. The lettering is horrible.
The lettering is horrible.
Bro, this is a fucking, this is the jersey you give, like, this is not your jersey. You give this to the next kid when you're 12,
You know what I'm saying? You pass that. This isn't actually. These are jerseys that made it Big Five. This is fucking horrible. Who's wearing this shit? This is the version of the fucking
the highest the, paid athlete. Sleeved
baseball
world.
Jersey. This is the, I mean, the sleeved basketball.
Yes,
the sleeved basketball jersey. This is what they've done right here with these. These are fucking horrible.
On the front of the Dodgers jersey, like the lettering is cut through.
Yeah,
like,
the lettering is the cut seam, in the wrong like, spot.
Can they fix this? Because this is untenable. It is untenable. Bro, this is. No, bro, this is no the comparison to side by side. That's actually disgusting. Like, yeah, come on, bro, are we really doing this?
Mina Kimes tweeted that it looks like when she tries to spell out someone's name on a birthday cake. Like, that, you know what I mean?
Right. Like she did the art. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, G. This is embarrassing.
Excellent. Nah. That was everything I was hoping it would be.
Bro, his.
I'm going to continue to just sit on baseball stories.
The man is just stretching. The man is just stretching. He's just preparing for a good old 9 innings of baseball. And his whole shit is like, and somebody's back there behind him like, oh.
Right. Someone
what a world.
Going, oh, yeah. It looks like you've got a varicocele on that left testicle. You might want to get that checked out.
I just took a picture so you can see. So you didn't think I was
here,
bullshitting
look.
You. Right. Oh, shit, nigga.
I will say if they're trying to grow female viewership, I certainly know some women who are very excited about them putting baseball players big old asses out there in see-through pants. So salute, I guess. I don't know, man. Interesting move. But I don't know
what the women's are saying, but I kind of feel like the shape I can see like wanting to see the shape, but actually seeing the hairs on the ass, I don't know if that would be the appeal, have the appeal that baseball thinks it would for the women. You know what I mean? Like men's silhouettes, I could see like, oh, but like the reality when you take the shirt off and there's hair on your fucking stomach. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But hey.
To each his or her own. All right.
For sure.
We're going to close on Dookie Butt of the Week. I'll go first. Shar and I went to go see Madam Web on Thursday. We did a little bookstore, dinner, bookstore, and shitty movie date night on a Thursday night. And anyone who told you that Madam Web was just a bad movie and not a hilariously bad movie you could go laugh at with your friends or your wife was lying. It's the worst movie I think I have ever seen.
Wow.
And I have seen some horrible movies. But I don't even know where to start. But I would tell y'all that the villain's audio is 100% dubbed. There is no moment when the villain is speaking on camera when his lips are synced up with what he's saying. Not one scene. In the entire
is this in the
movie.
Actual theaters?
Yes. Sony spent a couple $100 million on this movie. It's like we saw it with 8 other people and we were all laughing for an hour and a half straight at the entirety of the movie. The worst part, and Tyler, I know you appreciate this. The character of Madam Web, the deal is that she can see the future. And so after at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, I apologize. At the end of the movie, after Madam Web gets her powers, so she can see the future. Her best friend in this movie is Ben Parker, Peter Parker, Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, who gets killed. Mm-hmm. So she has earlier made a dramatic irony joke about how frequently people get shot at in Queens, which is like, oh, like wink, wink, nudge, nudge to this horrible tragedy that births Spider-Man. But anyway, Ben Parker's nephew, who it's like unnamed because Marvel told Sony this movie was so bad they were not allowed to say the word Spider-Man in the entire movie. So his unnamed nephew, aka Peter Parker, is born. And at the end of the movie, when Madam Web is sitting there able to see into the future now, Ben Parker's sister says Ben is loving being an uncle, all of the fun, none of the responsibility. And Madam Web says, that's what he thinks, which is a to which Char literally in the theater yelled, what?
Were y'all the only 12 people in the theater?
There was like 8 people there, but we were all like, she's getting in a little burn on the fact that he's that his sister and he are both going to be tragically murdered. Like, crazy. Anyway, no, also just, Dookie, but anyone who made Madam Web, salute to y'all. Way to go. Thank you.
I just, bro, what Sony is doing with the Spider-Verse is one of the all-time terrible, like, world building jobs in film history, and I say that with no exaggeration, no hyperbole. Like, yes. Morbius, bro. What? That was one of the worst fucking movies. They got trolled by fucking Twitter people asking for them to bring it back into theaters after it bombed, and they full wholeheartedly believed that those people were serious, and they brought that shit back just so it could bomb again. And I cannot believe that there's like a whole Venom series starring Tom Hardy. There's a Venom and Carnage movie where fucking Woody Harrelson is Carnage, and I do not give a fuck.
Go back to 1996 and tell Tyler and I there's a Venom versus Carnage movie out, and you won't be interested in seeing it. We would never have believed you.
Dog. Venom, that fucking Venom and Carnage arc was like, when Carnage first hit, bro, that shit was a moment, dog. Like, that
bathing
motherfucker.
In people's blood and shit, bro. That was some real shit.
That motherfucker came through like 2003 50 Cent, nigga. Like, when Carnage first hit the streets, and we was like, oh, you know, we all love Venom because he was like, you know, a bad guy, but he still had a moral compass, right? He was like, I'm not killing anyone but Spidey. That's why I want to kill, right? Like, he was very much, you know, on the side of not harming innocents. And Carnage came through like, bro, everybody has to die. I don't give a fuck. And we were like, whoa. And I cannot believe I do not give a fuck about that whole line right there. The Venom movies, the Morbius movie, like.
But the fact that Marvel told them, okay, you have the rights to the Spider-Man universe, so you can continue making these, but we will take you to the Supreme Court if you say the word Spider-Man. Like, don't you fucking dare besmirch Spider-Man. So you're going to they're making a Kraven the Hunter movie that comes out this year, Tyler. Like, they're not even done with these horrible movies this year, dog. I might need to fly to Richmond for the fucking Kraven movie, bro.
I should be excited about, you know, the Kraven movie, because, you know, that whole series that he had with the Black Spider-Man and shit, like, that was one of the fucking most incredible series.
Kraven's Last Hunt,
yes. But dog, I completely trust that they're gonna fuck this up too.
100%, 100%. All right,
are
Tyler,
there any good movies? Are there, like, I went and saw, like, me and Rather go to the movies on Fridays. We have, like, 12 to 4. We do our little shit together. You feel me?
Yeah.
And, like, we were looking for movies to watch, and we're like, we went to Poor Things, which, you know, like.
Not your bag.
No, it was cool. It was all right. I didn't dislike it. It was just like, how did this make, who cleared this to make it a fucking movie that goes in theaters? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's kind of, yeah. Not a lot of options.
My friend Ryan tried to sell me. He was like, you shouldn't see Madam Web. You're supporting bad stuff. And I was like, we have the AMC stub things. We're not spending any money on it.
Yeah, yeah.
He tried to sell me on a foreign movie. He's like a film snob. He tried to sell me on a French movie called The Taste of Things, which is about two old people cooking and having sex. That's what's in theaters right now, dog. It's fucking nothing in theaters.
Bro, I'm like, first of all, that movie sounds like it actually stinks. Like, I could go in a theater and smell the fucking movie. Okay? Like, P.U. I don't want to fucking be any part of that, have anything to do with that. But yeah, like.
I love talking shit on our friends who listen to the podcast. That's great. That's a great last word for me to have in that argument. So I appreciate that. It did sound like the theater would actually stink. I agree with you, John.
Sheesh. But yeah, it's just weird. It's weird where this is the situation that the theater is in right now.
Yeah, I feel like something that has fundamentally changed, you know, one of the many things that has changed after the pandemic is, like, it was a thing with me and, you know, wifey, we just do a date and be like, hey, let's just fucking roll up to the movie theaters and pick something out.
Because there's always something that you could want to watch, right? At least
those things
are
gone, dog.
Are we in the mood for one of the three comedies, one of the two horror movies, one of the three dramatic movies?
Right. There's like five movies available, and a lot of them are just garbage. American Fiction was good, though. I liked that. I enjoyed that.
I liked American Fiction, too.
Yeah, but Poor Things wasn't bad, but I'm just like, this is a movie that should go out on Amazon, you know, and I get it, or this is a Netflix movie. This isn't like a film that you would, I don't know. It's just,
Okay, let me hold on. Let's play a game. I'm gonna just read you the movies at our local AMC. You tell me if you've heard of them or not. The Bob Marley biopic, One Love. Yes,
heard of it.
Demon Slayer.
No.
No.
Drive Away Dolls.
No.
Ordinary Angels.
No.
The Chosen.
No.
Lisa Frankenstein.
What Hell the fuck? No. Hold up, Lisa Frank. All that stuff with Lisa Frankenstein. Is that like a play on Lisa Frank and Frankenstein? Is that like the premise there? What the fuck is that about?
It's a coming of rage love story from acclaimed writer Diablo Cody, Jennifer's Body. Oh, I like Jennifer's Body. About a misunderstood teenager and her high school crush who happens to be a handsome corpse. After a set of playfully horrific circumstances bring him back to life, the two embark on a murderous journey to find love, happiness, and a few missing body parts along the way. That's got that two theaters. Doesn't
seem too bad.
That's got two theaters. Madam Web, obviously, I just talked about. Yeah. Argyle. Y'all heard of Argyle?
No.
And Poor Things, American Fiction.
I hadn't heard of Poor Things until I went and saw. Which is like, what? We're trying to find. There has to be something we'd be find interesting.
Yeah.
So I hadn't even heard of Poor Things. They're not even being fucking advertised.
Private That's equity crazy. Is really Industry completely is destroyed our, like, lifestyle in this country. It's so like there's no media. Like we were just talking, I know we were all texting about Vice shutting down, but like media is being hollowed out. They won't make a movie if it's not going to make $1 billion. You know what I mean? It's just fucking crazy, bro. Like, because you literally like there's like Jason Blum and Blumhouse. There are still like independent organizations that are like, oh, we could spend $15 million on a movie that makes $50 million. All of us would take
A24,
that.
A24.
Right. We would all take that. You would take, John, if I said, if you could come up with $15 million, you'd make 50, you would take that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But
yeah.
Private equity companies are like, nah, it's not like, it's not worth the, you know what I mean? Like we're not interested. Like that's just fucking crazy to me, bro.
A24 right, too. Like they're the only people like putting out hella movies now. You know what I'm saying? Like they're the only people like putting out a lot of movies. Like a lot of these places, like a lot of these, studios aren't putting out a lot of different options. Like you said, it's, if we got to go make $1 trillion on it, it's not worth our fucking time. That's ugly. It's
like Warner Brothers is, it killed like a Wile E. Coyote, like satire comedy that everyone who's seen it says is amazing. Cause they're taking $100 million tax write off on killing it. They're just never going to release it.
Like, yeah. Isn't the premise like Wile E. Coyote sues Acme because none of the shit that he buys from them works? Which sounds like a brilliant fucking concept.
Right. It's like something, but it's like literally it's a courtroom made drama. And everyone who's seen it is like, this is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And they're like, we spent $115 million on it. If we don't release it, we can just write that off as $115 million loss. And so that's just what they're going to do. Like, that's like, it's not technically illegal, but it feels like it should be illegal. Like, you paid all these people to make this shit. They made something good. And you're like, all right, cool. But like, it's like the producers, but it's like really happening. And you don't even need to release anything. Like,
but if you released it, it didn't make its money back. You still have that as a loss. Part of it is a loss.
But the $115 million write-off to them is apparently more valuable than making $30 million or something. You know what I'm saying?
And then writing off what? The other $85
million? I'm fairly financially sophisticated. I have no fucking idea. This is like quantum level shit that they're on.
Yeah, man. I guess when you get to a certain point, like you to get a certain like $10,000 worth of, and this is like they're well past this.
Yeah.
$10,000 worth of write offs get you $1,000 off of what you have to pay. You know what I'm saying? So I can't imagine what they're at, but still, fuck that shit.
This is what I would explain when it comes to private equity, right? When I was laid off from our daily newspaper, one of the most frustrating things to me was everyone going, newspapers are dying. Like, that's like, I know they're losing money. Like, that sucks. And I actually took the time to explain to everyone, newspaper is quite profitable when we got laid off. It was making 12% a year. So if you or me, and this is why I have a nonprofit news company in Long Beach. If you have a company that makes a 12% profit and does a public good, you feel pretty good about that. It's a cash business. People give you cash today for the ad you run tomorrow. It's you're helping the community, you're building your city, all this other type of shit. 12%, that's great. Private equity does not want a 12% return on the newspapers that they own. They want a 20% return. So if you're making 12% revenue, they're going to cut 8% staff costs every year. They're going to make up that difference in layoffs just to hit their number so that they can roll that over quarter after quarter after quarter. So like that's the thing where it's like a lot of this stuff, like I said, movies are profitable. They're just not profitable to a private equity company in the way they want to be. The same thing with newspapers It's the same thing with a lot of other shit that they've hollowed out, bro. Like, it just...
Will it ever go the other way? Do you ever see it going the other way?
Well, here's where it could go the other way is, like, again, like, we could... I mean, not to be fucking egotistical, because I'm a fly on the, you know, planet-sized turd that is our national thing, but, like, yeah. It's going the other way in that, like, I have a nonprofit news company in Long Beach that employs 5 people with 25 freelancers, right? Like, that's more than was laid off from the newspaper when they laid us off. There are companies like Blumhouse and like other movie studios that are like, we'll make $50 million a movie. That sounds fucking great, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the way it goes A24 in the other direction. A24 is just people starting new stuff that grows up through the bullshit. Yeah. But it's not gonna happen for Vice. It's not gonna happen for you know what I'm saying? It's not gonna happen for the stuff that you lost, but there is a way to still, because I think there's more of a hunger for
SI. You know,
right, exactly. Like we're, them, yeah, exactly. So anyway, but it's like a forest.
Institutions on the way.
The big redwood falls, and out of the rot of that, you'll have new growth, but it won't be the, you know, 200-year redwood for another 200 years or whatever. So, all right, that was a long conversation about Madam Web. Tyler, your Dookie Butt of the Week.
Fucking Madam Web, bro. Did y'all see the shit with Matt Barnes?
Uh-uh.
Yes. Okay, so,
yeah. Matt Barnes got fired from his job as a Sacramento Kings announcer because he was at his son's basketball game. His son is in high school. He was at his son's basketball game and he put his hand on the announcer's shoulder, who was a high school kid there, and he told him he would slap the shit out of him. And you know, Matt Barnes says that the reason he told the kid that was because the kid told him to sit his ass down because, you know, Matt Barnes was on the sideline riled up about his son getting attacked. I don't know who to necessarily believe here, but I am kind of leaning on the side of Matt Barnes. I don't think Matt Barnes would just go up to a kid and put his hand on his shoulder and tell him he smacked the shit out of him for no reason. I do believe that kid said something sideways, right? And, you know, I'm on the side of, you know, both of them are dookie butts here. And I'll tell you why. Right. I mean, for one, I think that kid learned a very fucking valuable lesson here. If he truly told Matt Barnes to sit his ass down and Matt Barnes came and put his hand on his shoulder and calmly told him, I will slap the shit out of you. That was a valuable lesson learned there.
You can get your ass beat, nigga. Some people need to hear that. Yes, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
That was a valuable lesson learned there. No one was hurt. It was a valuable lesson learned there that, bro, words got consequences. You can't be talking crazy to everybody because somebody will try to put, you know, shit might go real, real bad for you if you talk crazy to the wrong motherfucker, right? And, you know, Matt Barnes' explanation of it was, you know, he put his hand on the kid's shoulder in a fatherly way to kind of tell him that, you know, that type of talk is unacceptable. And I'm not buying that, man. Okay? let's cut the shit. You put your hands on that kid to let him know, you see how easy it is for me to touch you. I could really fuck you up if I want to, right?
Right.
That was the whole motive behind that. But, you know, I'm just, you know, like I said, I think that if that kid was talking crazy to Matt, he's a dookie butt for that.
Yeah.
And you know, I think he learned a valuable lesson without getting hurt that, bro, you cannot talk crazy to anybody. Maybe, you know, he thought that, he's not going to, you know, do anything wild to me here at this high school game. And Matt Barnes is a different motherfucker. I don't think he really gives a shit where he's at. You're just not going to talk to him any type of way. So, I'm not at all saying that Matt Barnes caught the raw end of the deal here because no. You can't put your hand on a kid in a menacingly way and threaten him with violence. That is a fireable offense, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So both those dudes are dicky butts here because, you know, I think that Matt Barnes, I think what came down on him from a professional standpoint, he earned that. And I think that the kid learned a good lesson there that, you know, I think that what Matt Barnes did, you cannot do from a professional standpoint, but I think that what he did to that kid was a very light way of teaching a lesson in a real world standpoint, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because shit, like, you know, the lesson there that was taught is, bro, you know, you cannot talk crazy to anybody because a lot of people, you know, it's a lot of crazy motherfuckers out here that you talk crazy to them, like, bro, you will literally get taken off this planet. So, you know, I hope that both learned a lesson here. I hope that that Matt learned, you know, you cannot threaten people with violence and expect to keep your job. Yeah, Matt's never going to fucking learn,
right? But the kid did, and good for the kid. Yeah. You know?
Well, yeah. And so I do actually have a little bit more context on this because I have a couple of friends who are at that game and nearby when it happened. So as best I've been able to put it together, Tyler, I think what happened was that the kid was talking about how Matt Barnes was behaving on his broadcast that he was doing like a play-by-play for. Matt Barnes heard what he was saying. You know, like, I think he said something like, we've got a guy who keeps running out on the court yelling at the refs like a jackass or something like that. And Matt Barnes heard it and went over and was like, hey, man. I could squish your head like a grape in the money.
Hey, little buddy, you see how big these hands are?
Yeah.
Slap the shit out of you.
But to your point, and I actually do think that that's a great point, Tyler. I know that you had the mass comm broadcast major in college. Like, I was not a journalism major. I learned everything I know about journalism from being on the job. And yeah, man, like, if you sit in a journalism class, they're going to tell you about ethics and these principles that have existed for 200 years. Now, most of those principles are never actually enforced, with all due respect. I mean, there's all kinds of racist, horrible shit that newspapers and journalists have done over the years, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you can learn about those things, and then you could accidentally film someone on the sideline of a high school football game talking to someone else that he doesn't want any video of him talking to. And he's going to come over and put his hand on your shoulder, you're 23 as I was, and go, let me see that camera real quick. You're not going to look at this person and go, according to my journalism professor in college, this footage is sacrosanct. Like, he did learn a fucking real world fucking lesson there, bro. You got to make some decisions sometimes. What you're sticking up for. Like we talked about with Cam Newton. Sometimes you got to get your ass whooped standing on principle, but you better make sure it's a really good principle to be standing on if you're going to get your ass whooped.
Exactly that. I'm going to tell you what this incident reminded me of. There was a time when I was like 18, 19. I was at the mall with my homie, Lorenzo. And this dude we knew named Shaq. You know, he was kind of the homie, but he wasn't really, really the homie. You know, kind of like an associate.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And he came up to us and he was like, he was like, what up, man? He was like, yeah, what up? He's like, hey, man, where y'all boy Foodie at? And we was like, shit, I don't know. We ain't seen that dude in a few days or whatever. And he was like, why are you looking for him, man? And he was like, I heard you pushing up on my girl, man. I might have to see him about that. And my dude, Lorenzo, funny shit is, all my niggas got nicknames, right? Shaq is a big motherfucker, as you could tell from his nickname. Yeah. You know, I think all of us grew up with a motherfucker named Shaq. Lorenzo, this motherfucker's real name is Tim, but we just called him Lorenzo because he was a light-skinned pretty motherfucker. He's like, nigga, you look like a Lorenzo. But
his name was Tim?
Yeah, and we called him Lorenzo because he looked like a fucking, he looked like a Lorenzo. We called him Renzo,
like
right?
Like an R&B nigga.
Yeah, he looked like an R&B nigga, but he was a real motherfucker. I'm going to tell you why right here.
Yeah.
And so Renzo was like, you know, why are you looking for him, bro? Like, what's going on? He was like, man, you know, I heard he pushing up on my girl. He tried to holler at my girl. I might have to see him about that. And Renzo was like, word? For real? He was like, what you going to do if you see him? Like, you going to swing on him or whatever? And Shaq was like, shit, if it come to that, I might have to. My dude Renzo put his hand on Shaq's shoulder and looked at him and said, no, Shaq, don't hit Foodie, because if you hit Foodie, then I'm going to hit you. Right? And the whole fucking mood shifted. You know what I'm saying? So that made me think about just how a very calm word of advice given to you with a very, you know, with a hand placed on your shoulder and let you know that this is some very serious shit I'm telling you. It can go a long way because, you know, he did, you know, find food and there was no smoke. There was a conversation that was had. And it probably just went to the conversation lane because of that moment that Renzo had with him. You feel me? So
if that's exactly what that you moment. You gonna get jumped, nigga. Yeah, right? And you ain't Cam dude.
Yeah. Right? He's like, no, if you hit Foodie, then I'm gonna hit you.
I love that. That is such a real nigga moment.
When people know the consequences, beautiful. People are more likely to follow the rules, bro.
You know? Yeah. Look a nigga in their face named Shaq. And to say that with pure kindness and love, like, I'm going to have to try to beat your ass too, nigga. You feel
really
me?
Really should I ever seen.
Oh, though. That's beautiful. Oh, man. That speaks a lot about you too, Tyler, being around niggas like that. You feel me? Hey, you know what I mean?
That's how niggas was moving. I told you, bro. And this is the perfect fucking example of the two boxes you got to check to be my homeboy. you can't be a bitch and you got to be funny, right? And, and that's exactly what Rizzo was in that moment. Real nigga and funny as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Beautiful, beautiful.
John, your dookie butt of the week.
My dookie butt. NPR Tiny Desk people, man. Where's Tweets Tiny Desk? We need
break
a tweet. Tiny Desk. You said what? We need,
bro,
we need a
tweet. Funny shit is, I have been digging in Southern Hummingbird real heavy like the last week or so.
It's tweet beautiful. Is like, I think Tweet doesn't get as much love as she deserves, right? She's an if you know, you know type, you know what I'm saying? But she should be like, her voice is fucking beautiful. The pen is crazy. I don't know if she wrote or not, but the songs were fucking beautiful. Dog, we need a Tweet Tiny Desk and it would go crazy. Make that shit happen, G. Period,
She was so ahead of her time because, you know, the light voice vibes girl, she was on that shit fucking 20 years ago. You feel me?
Right.
And it's still
good today.
Yeah,
it's still
incredible.
Good today.
It's still incredible.
We could come out today and still be good.
Bro, her song Heaven is one of my favorite breakup songs ever. Because, you know, the whole premise of the song is, since I broke up with you, this shit feels like heaven, right? Like, there's not animosity. It's like, it's not, you did me so wrong, but I'm going to be all right. It's none of that. It's like, you're out of my life and I feel so great. You know what I'm saying? It is a beautiful fucking breakup song. Heaven by Tweet. Go run that if you're going through some shit. You know what I'm saying?
And then she has a song like Taxi. You know what I'm saying? Taxi, beautiful as hell. She trying to get to her man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and she's singing to the taxi driver. You know what I mean? It is, bro, beautiful music. We need a Tweet Tiny Desk. You feel me?
Hell yeah. I love it. Badly. For sure.
Jackson,
I need that.
Jackson, your dookie butt of the week.
My dookie butt of the week is the Fox News host who said black people will vote for Trump because they like sneakers and Trump put out an ugly ass fucking shoe.
Listen, bro. We do love sneakers. Not those motherfucking sneakers, though. not them goddamn Wendy's baked potatoes this motherfucker trying to sell. Hell no. Fuck them shoes and fuck
fucking
Trump.
Trash.
They're
bro.
So
I
bad.
Heard somebody bought them 900 retail. Or not, was it? It might have been 9 stacks. It might have been 9K. Somebody paid $9K for them fucking Supras. It's fucking trash, bro. Embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Well, you know, time will tell if the strategy works or not.
Right. I saw some clip of one of the other Fox News people on the show being like, do you think this is really going to cause like translate to votes? And the guy were like, hey, if you're dropping that much money on shoes, it's definitely going to, I think it could swing some states. I was like, you guys are fucking delusional.
Bro, just delusional as fuck. Bullshit, bro. Just like the purest form of bullshit. Like not a shred of truth in any of this shit they come out of their mouth. It's crazy.
So it didn't work on y'all.
There you go.
Come on, man. Come on, them bitches weak as fuck, bro. And fuck him off top.
And then just work. Fuck him. Just point blank.
Hey, wouldn't it fuck you? Nigga, wouldn't it fuck you up if they put some Trumps out and they actually were like really nice shoes?
No.
I'm not saying obviously none of us would wear them. Would that not be the plot twist of all plot twists? Like, who the fuck did Trump hire to design good shoes, bro?
It would be wild being on the show like, nigga, fuck that nigga, but them shit's hard, nigga. He dropped some, them shit's heat, nigga, you feel me? It's going to be some, you know what I'm saying? Niggas, it's some, what, the red hats with some fire ass niggas on. Them shit's is garbage. He dropped the shoes that we thought he would make. You feel me?
The shoes look like what like Maya would do in the Nike customizer when she was in kindergarten, bro. Like
metallic,
make them shiny.
Metallic,
is there a metallic finish for the shoes? Like what the fuck are you doing?
They look spray painted, nigga. You feel me? Like horrible, horrible shoes.
All right. Well,
9K resale. Insane.
I think there's a disclaimer on the website too that there's no promise of actually delivering the shoes. I think it's like the Triple B. Like I don't.
Saying. Oh yeah, I'm saying he on his big baller brand. Shit,
yeah,
right?
Like I don't think they've actually manufactured the shoes. And then who was it? Was it Jonathan Isaac? There was a basketball player who said he might wear them, and then he got injured the day after he said that.
Doesn't he always get injured after he says dumb shit? I think Jonathan Isaac is the guy. He says some dumb shit and just gets injured right after. Like, God be trying to tell his ass, I don't fuck with you, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You keep, I'm trying to let you know you ain't my nigga. You feel me? Keep my name out your mouth. That's God, nigga. You trying to tell him keep my name out your mouth.
This might be but he the won't most keep his name out his mouth. Argument to get me to believe in God. Jonathan Isaac's like, this is God's word. And God's like, no, sir.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Skyhook, Shaq's two-handed dunk. and Jonathan Isaac's instant karma from God. The signature moves of the National Basketball Association.
All right, Colts reverse, ACL gone, nigga. Trying to tell you, nigga. You know what I mean?
Nobody can ever tell a tendon next anyway. That's all the time we got. We'll be back on Tuesday with our next Love is Blind recap episode, and we'll be back on Thursday with our midweek episode, and we will see y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
That's his move.
The Volume.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.